listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday morning. It is time for our conversation with our friend Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning.
Good morning to you and your listeners. Here we are again.
Here we are.
Monday morning for all these people that are, I guess this phrase, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, may play into what we're going to talk about, but I don't have a bushy tail.
My eyes aren't bright.
And I'm not.
I have brown eyes.
Yes, I know. Well, my eyes change. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm related to some types of lizards, but no, I just.
Your eye color changes?
Yeah. Well, depends on the lighting.
Aha.
It's supposed to be green, but green eyes, I'm not sure that's always the most appropriate thing to have when you deal with some reptiles that I've seen.
Maybe you're just evolving.
Oh, gee. Well, you know what? They say, well, humans can change over time, and we've noticed that humans are changing in terms of their height over time, but that's within the humankind.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that we could use the word species, but the Hebrew word kind is certainly much more appropriate for us to be speaking about. Species, that gets into zoology, the study of animals and the various, how many animal kingdoms we have. Now, we used to have two, plant and animal. Now we have more than two. We have about five or six. And so all of these things are developing over time. And one of the most recent things that I want to bring up here, really two things. They have just discovered over in Indonesia, there was called the Hobbit. This was discovered several years ago. They gave him the name Hobbit. It's, I think it's called Australopithecus floriensis, if we, you know, forget whatever that means. That means southern ape, basically, but these are found over in Indonesia. And what's interesting is I have the article here, you know, my hands here, and it says here, likely Hobbit ancestors lived 600,000 years ago. Now, what's interesting is that when they found these, and I want to make sure that, I was right. Well, it's Homo floriensis. Well, whatever that means. We won't get into those terminologies. These Latin terms tend to say a lot of things. But they discovered these in Java. And they actually didn't discover any humans. They discovered a lot of, in a cave, a lot of animal bones, and they're thinking there's got to be some humans. So finally, they found three pieces. Now, they used the word likely. Now, what does that say to your listeners? What does that say out there, Ethel and John and Herman, whoever's listening? What does this say, likely? Does it mean for sure?
It does not mean for sure. It may be plausible.
It's a possibility. But they found three pieces, and here's what they find. They found a small fragment of a jawbone that they think is likely the ancestor of the Hobbit, which it was probably no more than 3.5 feet tall. Then they found another small jawbone with some teeth that they believe is humanoid and an ancestor to the Hobbit. And so how does this work? And so what they do is they date the soil around the bones and the teeth that they find. And they say, well, these had to be 600,000 years. That's the dating. But they don't get into the plus or minus years in this potassium-argon dating that they use, that this could be younger, it could be older. And so much is based on the dating process, which is very arbitrary, to be quite honest. But that's why I think they use the word in here, likely, and that these are very fragments. And so what they're saying is that we want to have other skeletal remains before we can conclude, even though in this article they conclude, but then they don't conclude. If you listeners can understand that, that means we think we've got it, but we're not sure, based on three small pieces of bone. And the use of the word hobbit, think of this, here we go. Now, Tolkien wrote The Hobbit.
That's what I was going to say.
There you go. See, Andy?
That was what came to mind.
So, and he wrote this for his grandkids. And then you had The Lord of the Rings, okay? Mm-hmm. Those three things, the great books. Well, so you take a look at this and say, oh, The Hobbit. See, what that is, that's a drawing card, isn't it? See, they use names that draw people into their storyline. They go, oh, a hobbit. And so The Hobbit, they were pretty small. Mm-hmm. See? So here you go. And I don't know how tall a hobbit is, but they look like they're probably about 3 feet tall based on the other human characters that are in there, maybe 4 feet. And so that's why they're drawing this comparison. So they're saying, this is very much similar to what Tolkien wrote, a small person. And so, see, definitely this is a person that predated the Homo erectus or Homo sapien, which is what they're saying. And so they're saying the data is so convincing, based on three small pieces that are no more than 2.5 inches long and a few teeth, that this definitely proves, or likely proves, that we have ancestors that are over 600,000 years old. And it's all based on dating. And so then, of course, we go back to the book of Genesis, and we say, well, God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living creature. I don't know what he looked like. I just know he was a human. And Adam, and then from Adam came Eve, and on it goes. So we accept this. This is where Hebrews chapter 11 comes in, the faith chapter, how God created everything from nothing. And in this story, God, of course, is not involved, but somehow this all happened by chance and by mistake. And they do mention that, but they don't know how or why. So one has to be very careful when you're reading these things, and this will be a National Geographic, I guarantee you, in probably the next issue. Because they are the ones that promote, and I get National Geographic, so I can keep up on this. They had the one on The Hobbit 2 years ago, and way before that, back about 25 years ago, they had this holograph of the so-called first Homo sapien that sort of looked like a human, but more like a chimpanzee. So they're convinced. Now the evolutionary theory says we came from chimpanzees. That's what they're promoting. And that God, the theistic God, is the one that initiated all of this. And so that when Adam and Eve, which basically evolved as Homo sapiens, then God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became now created in the image of God, which of course he wasn't before. So here we go. Now, if your listeners are looking at this and they're thinking, oh, I got to go back for some more coffee and an Advil. But this is what's going on, and this is what is being promoted by many, many people in the scientific community. Now, there are a lot of scientists, like at the Creation Science Museum and other places, that don't talk about it. I mean, they'll talk about it, but it is from a first article issue, like we talk about it here. And many people are struggling over this, but boy, it looks like that's where we came from. But if you read National Geographic and other magazines that promote this, I guarantee you, you're not going to find objective language.
So this is very interesting. Going back to the comparison here, using the Hobbit example, this is identifying with fiction.
Yes, there you go.
I find it interesting that you're using a name from fiction. I mean, Tolkien was writing fiction here.
Yes.
Much to the surprise of some fans, I'm sure. But
yeah, of course.
But this is, he wrote these novels, this fiction, and they're using a name that's associated with that to label this, what they found, and really to give it a persona, but it's really a persona found in fiction.
Yes.
How interesting.
Yeah, and this is how people tend to initially be drawn into this evolution story, because in other articles I have on this, they talk about tracking how humans evolve in real time, and they're using, of course, women's mitochondrial DNA. That gets more complicated. I won't get into that. And then, of course, they talk about, well, where did language come from? Okay, here's the answer. Certainly in Darwinian evolution, saying that we came from old world monkeys, chimpanzees, those are the ones, when you go to the zoo, the ones, actually all apes that have no tails, orangutans would be included as well, and gorillas and so forth. That language came from, we eventually spoke over time, but we started with sign language, of course. See, now if you just think about that, and you follow chimpanzees and what they have learned, and they do learn sign language. My dog knows sign language. I put my hand up, he sits down. I put my hand down, and he lies down. So maybe we came from dogs, I don't know. But the idea is that we that's what they're saying. And so over time, with the language, they started to say, well, somehow over millions of years, the sign language turned into, through genetic mutation, into speaking what you're actually saying with your hands. So, yes.
As much as I talk with my hands on in the studio here, it seems plausible, but we know that the that humans didn't come from dogs or other furry creatures.
No. I mean, here's what it says here. Your sign languages develop in predictable ways, offering clues, doesn't say the reality, to the evolution of linguistic complexity, which simply means when they study this, over 10,000 people who do sign language in the world, and they studied and then they did this with quote unquote old world monkeys. In a very short article here, they go, oh, they picked up on this very, very quick, you know. So the evolutionary process may also be inevitable, reflecting the workings of our brains. If there are systematic ways to learn how to do sign language, this means there must be certain ways to package it in our brain that eventually, when expressed that in words. So somehow, they don't know how, but through genetic mutation, something in our developed in the vocal cords from the grunting to actual speaking. And here's the last point. Then we may have to all have a banana. The last point is, you look at some dogs they have on YouTube, like Husky. I have a Red Siberian Husky, and they show these Huskies saying hello. They're not saying hello. They want food. They're just howling, but it sounds like it. So if you say this long enough to people, they're going to start to believe this. So I just wanted to bring this up, and, you know, at least with this session, this is what you get confronted with when you go certainly to the zoo over here in St. Louis or to any other zoo. They're going to be pushing this whole issue of language through sign language and eventually genetic mutation into speaking.
Interesting.
It is interesting, but it is the reality of what is happening in the evolutionary process that many people push and then say God is involved in this. I know. You're kind of lost.
My head.
This is understandable, folks. Andy, for the first time in the history of his time, is lost for words, and you too can be.
Thank you, Dr. Weiss.
Okay.
Have a wonderful
God's
week.
God's peace to you and your listeners.